A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Spread.
What's up, guys? Ryan Spread here from Somewhere in the Skies. This is going to be fun, I think. I hope you guys like what we're doing tonight. This actually, what we're going to be talking about tonight came to my attention by a gentleman named Shane S., who is one of my Patreon subscribers. And we've been emailing back and forth a few times about UFOs. And he brought this to my attention after I recently had Dan Warren on the live stream talking about this very mysterious Chapter 13 in a United States Air Force Academy textbook in a physics course all about UFOs. So, out of nowhere, to be completely honest, Shane brought to my attention that there is a chapter 13 in another book, and this had to do with fire officers. So for fire departments and whatnot, it is the Fire Officer's Guide to Disaster Control. And just like in this Air Force Academy textbook, this was chapter 13 in a quote unquote manual about UFOs. So I could not talk about this. I know that this has been out in the public. Many UFO researchers know about it. It's been talked about. There's been news segments on it, one of which I'm going to share with you tonight. I'm going to go through this chapter with you guys, pick out some of the stuff I thought was kind of cool and interesting, and I'm just going to explore the chapter with you. So we might go line by line. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. You might be bored out of your mind, or I would love for you guys to chime in the chat. Let's get to it, guys. The Fire Officer's Guide to Disaster Control. Again, I have Shane to thank for bringing this to my attention. I am not pretending I uncovered this or that it is a revelation or brand new, but it was brand new to me, and I thought it'd be cool to discuss tonight. So I guess let's just talk a little about what this thing is. It's a guide to disaster control. So basically, this is something that would come out that the fire departments across the United States would use for preparedness for any situation that might arise when it comes to attacks or disasters. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, there was a chapter put at the end of this manual, chapter 13, about UFOs. But let me go ahead and I want to play what me and Dan Warren and Luis Jimenez talked about. And this was this Air Force Academy chapter on UFOs in one of their textbooks. And Dan Warren, who has the Fifth Pillar of Emphasis TikTok channel, made like this 10-part TikTok series about this chapter in the Air Force thing. So I had him come on the show and talk all about it, break it down for us. But I'm going to play the first of the TikTok videos. God, TikTok is never going to be the same, guys. Let's be honest. It's going to be a Freudian slip forever now when it comes to UFOs. Let me go ahead and play the first video of the TikTok that Dan Warren put out about the Air Force chapter and some of the resemblances it has to this chapter as well.
This may be hard to believe, but the U.S. Air Force Academy used to educate its cadets about UFOs between 1968 and 1970. And this wasn't just some professor's opinion, this was in their textbook, which was confirmed by the Deputy Director of Public Information at the Air Force Academy. The cadets that enrolled in Physics 370 were required to have a textbook titled Introductory Space Science. The very last chapter in this textbook was titled Unidentified Flying Objects. And according to the Lemoore Advance, the students were taught to stop scoffing at UFOs and instead to keep an open mind on the subject. This course was an elective that attracted about 20 students per semester. That means for the 5 semesters that this was in place, about 100 cadets were exposed to this information.
So yeah, if anyone hasn't seen the entire kind of breakdown that Dan did, if you're on TikTok, head over there and you can watch it there. Fifth Pillar of Emphasis is his handle. Or go to his YouTube channel, Fifth Pillar of Emphasis as well. He's put the entire string of videos together into one cohesive video for you over there. And yeah, that was pretty interesting. A chapter on UFOs in the Air Force Academy book on physics. And we kind of dug through what we thought was interesting and whatnot. And a lot of it was stuff we knew. It was things pulled directly from Project Blue Book or things pulled from the work of Dr. J. Allen Hynek as well. And that's kind of what this chapter is, too, that we're going to be talking about tonight. But there are some pretty cool things as well. First, I want to talk about the authors of this chapter. And that was Dr. William Kramer and Charles Chuck Bame, and I'm just going to go through briefly these guys' credentials and why they were a part of this manual. So William Kramer was a baccalaureate degree holder in industrial management and business administration, master's degree in industrial relations, and a PhD in administrative management from the University of Cincinnati. Let's see. He has edited numerous course guides for the Open Learning Fire Service program and published numerous fire service journal articles. And then we have Chuck Baum, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. He's the author of many fire service articles as well as books, including the Handbook of Disaster Control, predecessor to the Fire Officer's Guide to Disaster Control, which we're talking about tonight. He's written guides to dangerous chemicals, fire protection for chemicals, Fire Officer's Guide to Emergency Action. The list goes on and on. These guys are highly credentialed, and they are the ones to be writing a manual like this. And they wrote Chapter 13 in this thing about UFOs. Chapter 13 in the Air Force textbook. Chapter 13 in the Fire Officer's Manual. I don't know if there's some weird connection there. Maybe it's, you know, all these things are 12 chapters, and then they squeeze that last chapter in there of what they really want to talk about, which seems to be UFOs. I don't know. But I thought that was pretty interesting that in both books, they were chapter 13. It's got such a The number 13 is such a mysterious atmosphere to it anyway. So yeah, let's see here. Morkavi Studios says, BN says, what I'm curious about is how did these guys get enough clearance to factually say what they say and how did it make it to print? That's the question, BN. Why are these things in there? And why is the biggest question? And a lot of the chapter, I will admit, is things pulled directly, quotes from UFO researchers or things from Project Blue Book or things like that, which we're going to kind of run through. So a lot of it was a lot of copy and paste, to be honest. But again, this is a book that's made for firefighters, for emergency workers, for things like FEMA to prepare for literally any situation. So that's kind of their reasoning from what I've been told and what we'll hear from Bill Kramer, one of the writers, about why this is here. We have to prepare for any situation. And I think it was the same with the Air Force Academy as well. Like, what if this could happen? We're not saying it's real. We're not saying that it's extraterrestrial. But what if it happened? How would we deal with it? And we need to know that. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the why. But when we get deeper into the chapter, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. It's very curious no matter what. I would have to agree. Nick says, it's fairly well known within the fire police law enforcement circles. I can only say that roughly half a dozen firefighters have discussed this chapter with me over the years. So again, like, this isn't just some make-believe thing. Like, this was real. This was in textbooks. And you can buy this book, this manual. You can buy it on Amazon. I don't have a link for it. But if you put the title in, you can definitely, it's out there. You can obtain this thing. So what I think we'll do, guys, is I'm just going to run through some of this, see what you guys find most appealing. Here's like the breakdown of chapter 13. As you'll see, it's been called enemy attack and UFO potential. What is war, causes of war, effects of nuclear attacks? And then we get down to UFO threat, a fact, adverse potential of UFOs, which is really interesting, and UFOs and emergency action. UFO threat, a fact. So, I mean, that's pretty interesting right there. UFO threat, a fact. I don't know if a lot of people would agree with that, that UFOs are a threat. That seems to be what we're hearing a lot nowadays, that it could be a potential threat. So we need to look into it. That's good. We should be looking into it. It could be a potential threat. We don't know because we do not know what we're dealing with, and neither does our military. So, yeah, if we're talking about emergency workers or firefighters or anyone in that realm of safety and protection, I guess, this could be a threat. In this chapter, we'll turn our attention to the very real threat posed by unidentified flying objects, whether they exist or not. They talk about the Orson Welles show and kind of the panic that was caused by that, which has been drastically, I believe, overstated and exaggerated. But people freaked out, and I'm sure there were people who thought it was real, and apparently there were some deaths involved. I don't know if that's part of the exaggeration or not. But let's see what else we have here in the first part. Throughout this book, many of the references to actual events are based on the experiences of both of the authors. However, in the area of UFOs and their potential, we are relying largely on the research and experiences of Charles Baum. Chuck has made a considerable study of these of this subject, and is acquiring many publications and VCR tapes. Wow, that's a throwback. This book is from 1992. I forgot to mention that, guys, to augment his library on this and related phenomena. So what it's sounding like to me is one of the authors of this book, who happened to also do a lot of work in fire safety and putting these books together, was a UFO guy. And hey, can't fault him for that. I'm a UFO guy. You're a UFO guy, UFO woman, UFO person. And if they could slip a chapter into one of their books about UFOs, I'm sure that was, you know, a gold star on the old board there for them. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. Let's see what you guys are saying here in the chat before I move on. Nick says, Ryan, as you know, my father was lieutenant in the Milwaukee Fire Department with 31 years of service. Wow, Nick, that's incredible. Wow, thank you. Thank you for his service. His closest friend on the job was a deputy chief. He spoke with me at length and referred to Hynek by name. That's pretty freaking cool. That is cool. Vast Twilight says, coming from an EMS background, I think, one, the first section is legit, meaning that it discusses invasion and what to do in that scenario, foreign power invasion and what to do. Yeah, that's very true. This book is about what to do in any situation, whether it's a foreign adversary attacking us here in the United States or something we just can't simply explain, which UFOs are one of. And they're not saying they're alien. They're saying these are unidentified phenomena that could cause a disaster, and we need to be ready to deal with it and help people. So, yeah, I think that's a good thing. That's a good way to put it, Fascinating. Let's see. You said also, number two, the UFO part is a training think outside the box scenario to prepare for things outside of the norm. But in hindsight, it seems to be pretty fortuitous. Yes, I think that this chapter was probably put in this book and also in the Air Force Academy book for cadets and for firefighters and EMTs and everyone to think outside of what they normally would. Because the minute you become complacent and routine is when, you know, that part of the brain stops working of what to do in a situation you have not seen before. And I know police officers and EMT workers and firefighters, like, they have to be ready for something that they don't quite expect. And that's why those jobs are extremely dangerous. I'm sure they see the same things day in and day out in some ways, but there's going to come a time where something really throws them for a loop, and a UFO invasion or even just a close encounter, which many firefighters and police officers and EMTs have had, what to do. And we're going to get to that as well. The physiological effects, which was in here too, which is really interesting. Let's see. Important thing to note is that in subsequent editions, the UFO chapter remains interesting. That's very interesting. Mark V. Studio says, hate bringing it up, but think of 9/11. They weren't prepared, but darn, did they step up. I could understand preparing for anything. Yeah, it's true. Let's move back to the chapter here. Background information. With no intention of trying to prove or disprove the authenticity of numerous UFO encounters related by credible witnesses, including airline and military pilots, astronauts, police officers, firefighters, members of Congress, and even U.S. presidents, or a U.S. president at the time that this was written, the balance of this chapter will be to present a brief history and nature of UFOs and their alleged occupants. Really interesting that we're kind of starting with the history of ufology when it comes to this. What are UFOs? William Shakespeare put a fitting observation in the mouth of Hamlet, the Prince of Denmark, that went like this. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamed in your philosophy. And scene. That's my Broadway coming out. Whether Hamlet was referring to those strange lights or objects that appear in the sky or near the ground and have no known cause, we will never know. But the World Book Encyclopedia defines such things as UFOs. So we're getting like a crash course in UFOs in the first few things here. They have the classification system that Dr. J. Allen Hynek came up with. Let's see. Nocturnal lights, daylight discs, close encounters, radar readings. So that's pretty cool. Shapes of UFOs. All different types of UFOs have been reported. Flying saucers, glowing tubes, semi-spherical apertures, reddish-orange glows, or fire-like or sparking discharges, which would definitely be of interest to firefighters for sure, and how to deal with that. Just imagine them like with a hose spraying a UFO. I'm sure it's happened. I'm definitely sure it's happened. Nick says, said deputy chief was, a UFO guy, but I know that he made a point of hammering this chapter into the heads of cadets at the fire academy when he taught courses. Wow. That's interesting, Nick. You really wanted people to talk about this. Ooh, can we see the appendix? Yes, I will definitely get to the appendix of this. They give a really cool list of books to read about UFOs and stuff like that. So I will definitely try to touch on that with you guys. Let's get back to the chapter. So they go into the history of UFOs. What was interesting, not so much a comparison, but not a connection. This Air Force Academy thing, when they went into the history of UFOs, they went back to the ancient times in terms of like why some alien race would come to Earth and seed our planet and the evolution of humans through that. It was a crazy, crazy, crazy story in that chapter. Here we have it starting with what a lot of us know is the modern UFO era. And that started around World War II with the Foo Fighters. Where there's foo, there's fire. Nice little pun there in this fire officer's handbook. In the middle of the 1900s, flying saucers were increasingly observed in the United States and other countries. They talk about the University of Colorado were hired by the Air Force from 66 to 68 to study this type of aerial phenomena. Most could be explained as stars, Venus, meteors, planets, balloons, rockets, blah, 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 some atmospheric conditions, optical illusions, all the same debunking crap that Blue Book and the Condé Committee went through. After investigating more than 12,000 reports, the U.S. Air Force was unable to explain where the unexplained UFOs came from, but apparently concluded that the national security was not threatened by them. That's what we were told, but now we have sort of a turnabout face with the Navy and the Pentagon saying they could be a threat to national security, especially in an age of drones. So we got to figure it out. We got to shed the stigma. We need these things reported because it could be a potential threat. A lot of talking about UFO organizations. Let's see. This is 92. So yeah, we got a lot of the good players, NICAP, MUFON, CAUSE, Ground Saucer Watch. That's one I haven't heard in a while. QFOS, which was the organization run and started by J. Allen Hynek, and APRO, the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. Why the secrecy, they say? Well, I'm sure we can deduce that if we don't know what it is, we don't want to panic the public and say we don't know what it is. So what we do find out, we need to keep close to the chest until we can fully understand this stuff. They talk about Donald Kehoe, his work, and how he was trying to unravel the truth embargo on UFOs when it comes to the Air Force and the Pentagon. So a lot of this is the history of UFOs, which is cool, but it's not really anything we haven't heard before. Wasn't really expecting that. UFO missions. I found this really interesting. Many reasons have been advanced for the purpose of the UFO's visits to our planet. Although some of the persons who apparently have been subject of genetic investigation, such as the family of Whitley Strieber, this chapter is talking about communion and Whitley Strieber. I found this both hilarious and very interesting. Talking about Mr. Strieber's abductions. What else? He talks about Incident at Exeter, the John Fuller book. Wow. Really, really interesting stuff into the history of ufology. Again, like, is this to really throw off those reading it and have them really open their minds that some of this could be true? Who's to say it's not? We have yet to definitively prove a lot of UFOs and a lot of claims by abductees. We were not there when it happened. We can't definitively say it did not happen. And I've been guilty of calling people liars or fantasy prone, but I tend to think that the older I get, the more skeptical I become, but the more respectful I am as well, that I was not there when these things happened. So really interesting that a lot of this is in this chapter. Adverse potential of UFOs. Now, this is where I think the meat of why this chapter is in here is here, and that is what harm these UFOs could cause. Not an invasion so much, but even just a close encounter. So let's talk about that in just a minute here. Let's see here. Adverse potential of UFOs. This is where I kind of want to read verbatim some of this stuff, guys. So do forgive me. But again, I'm just exploring this like you guys are in real time. Regardless of its past evaluations, the Air Force could be wrong about a number of things. It can't even guess within a couple of billion dollars what one of its planes is going to cost. Maybe despite the skepticism of the scientists and other investigators, the UFOs sent from other planets do exist and have visited Earth. Not exactly sure where that quote comes from, but they start to talk about some of the effects are as follows of these UFOs. Two principal hazards noted within relation to UFOs have been attributed to powerful electrical fields, which they can project in a general or localized area, and the psychological effects they have produced on the general populace or individual. Force field impact. The disruption of air and ground travel has often been reported in the presence of UFOs. Ignition systems of auto and aircraft engines have apparently been affected by energized force fields to such an extent as to stop. Let's see what else we have here. Ooh, they go into a case in 78 from Buenos Aires. A strange force shut off their engine and headlights of the Citroën CG lifted it 15 feet off the road, then set it down a minute later at 75 miles to the north. The driver noticed yellow and violet light shining in his rearview mirror while driving the last leg of a long stock car race, and he realized that it was approaching too fast to be a competitor. A month later, a Colombian bank manager and a Navy officer had their car headlights go off when buzzed by a UFO. Really, really interesting. Ooh, they talk about the case in Mexico City where the Piper plane was literally surrounded by three flying saucers. I actually covered that case in an episode of Case Files. So if you guys are not subscribed to the YouTube channel that you're watching right now, please subscribe. Please click the like button. Please share this video. But I do a series called Case Files where I go through a UFO case in like less than 5 to 8 minutes and give you the rundown about it. And so you can move on with your day. And I did cover that case with Carlos de los Santos, I believe was the gentleman's name, where three UFOs surrounded his plane, hit it, and then sent his plane into a spiral. He almost died and was saved by the UFOs. I'm not kidding you. So yeah, that's really interesting that they bring this case up in this chapter. And then the other big one they talk about is communication disruption. Radio transmissions, whether it's with pilots in these UFOs trying to communicate with them, seems close to impossible. So they cannot communicate with the UFO. They cannot identify the thing in front of them. So it could be a threat, and that's extremely dangerous. So yeah, I'm happy they brought that up as well. Regional power blackouts. Yeah, of course, EMTs, FEMA, fire departments are going to be called in when there are blackouts. There's going to be emergencies happening all over the place. You've got like the famous blackout in New York City, I know. Oh, they mention it right here, actually. Blacked out all of New York, where UFOs had been seen during that blackout, the famous blackout. So, of course, these are things that firefighters need to be prepared for, that the blackout could have been caused by UFOs. So it's one of many explanations. I'm going to put this up. Vast says, third thing, in fire department EMS, we have what's called duty to act. If you are on duty, you must help those in medical need if you come across them. Maybe this drives home that it includes everyone, even aliens. Yeah, I've heard that. And, you know, you've got this idea, too, of like, if a doctor's in a house, they need to, or anywhere, they need to help someone if they're in trouble. Or citizens, even. Like, you could be arrested for not helping someone that's in trouble. You can literally be arrested for that. I don't know how often it's actually used. But, yeah, I could understand that when it comes to EMTs. If they have the power and ability to help someone in a situation, no matter how weird the situation is, it could even be a threat to that firefighter or EMT themselves. They need to help. So why not be prepared for everything, even aliens? Nick says, Ryan, you know how long I've been in the field. To have my father's friend, respected MFD deputy chief, cite the Cash Landrum case and Bentwaters case specifically threw me for a loop. I'm sure, man. I am sure. Talk about physiological effects. Man, those are two prime examples, which I'm sure are somewhere in this chapter, about people being physically affected by UFOs. With the Cash Landrum incident, everyone involved suffered radiation burns. I believe one or two of them died because of it. And that's a crazy case. And they tried to sue the Air Force because they believed that whatever they saw was an Air Force project. And the Air Force said, nope, wasn't ours. We're not taking responsibility. We're not giving you any money to get help or anything. Really sad. Really, really sad case. Then you have the Bentwaters case, where one of the witnesses who touched the craft that landed in the forest in 1980, the Rendlesham Forest case, if, for those of you who want to look into it, he touched this UFO. And had really weird physical effects that caused heart failure in him many, many years later. And he went to Veteran Affairs and said, I need surgery or I'm going to die. I believe this was caused by radiation or something that I had happened to me back when I saw a UFO. And Veteran Affairs was like, no, we're not going to help you with that. No. They sealed his records. He couldn't even get his medical records when they found out that this dude was at Bentwaters and part of this event. And he had to fight for years to get his records unsealed and to get medical assistance from the VA to literally save his life. And I believe even John McCain got involved and helped fight for this dude. And his name is John Burroughs. He was part of the now famous Rendlesham Forest incident. And he got the help he needed. He got surgery, saved his life. And it's the first time, I believe, documented that the Veteran Affairs said, we helped this guy because of a UFO event that happened to him in 1980. So crazy, crazy. But it's also more telling of why this chapter is here and the effects that a UFO could have on people. Hey guys, Ryan here. The Somewhere in the Skies podcast is a labor of love every week. And with that comes many different costs to keep the show running. That's where our Patreon campaign comes in. You give what you think the show is worth. There's different rewards available all the time, including shoutouts on the show, early editions of main episodes, bonus episodes and content, and very soon, monthly patron hangouts, where we sit back and chat all things UFOs. So I hope you'll consider becoming a Patreon subscriber today. To learn more and to join, visit patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you for your support and keep looking up.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ooh, I didn't even see this. Fireballs over Syracuse. Come on. I'm from Syracuse, New York. I didn't see this part before I got here, guys. This is pretty cool. Airplane pilots reported that UFOs are being chased across Pennsylvania. Electronics and construction engineers who are driving in the area of Syracuse. Woo-woo-woo. Cuse in the house. Airport saw UFOs moving about 5:30 p.m. Just prior to the great blackout. A veteran flight instructor who had been flying over Syracuse on a training flight saw a glowing globe over the power lines leading to Niagara Falls generating plant. Hundreds of others saw the glowing object in the sky on the night of the big power failure. Dang, that's so cool. I think I knew about that case, but I haven't really looked into it. But that leads me to something. I don't know if they really talk about it in here. But we'll talk about it right now, is they mentioned power plants. That's a big thing in the UFO field right now, too, is UFOs and nukes. UFOs have been witnessed and sighted over nuclear installations for decades. Hundreds of cases of these things. We had Robert Salas on the show maybe a month or so ago, which originally aired on Peter Robbins' show, Meanwhile Here on Earth, where we talked to Robert Salas about being a nuclear, literally like the head of a nuclear base underground where nuclear missiles were being housed. And it was his job to push that button if push came to shove and we had to do it. And he and several others had a very dramatic UFO sighting over their base. This is Malmstrom Air Force Base. And I don't know how else to say it. The missiles were affected by the UFOs. Shut them down, which is insane. And there are hundreds of cases of this happening. Robert and many others went in front of the National Press Club several times now to talk about this. And within weeks of them doing this event in Washington, we got this new Pentagon UAP group that's going to be starting up this year. So yeah, interesting times we're living in for sure. And all that more reflective with this chapter we're talking about tonight as well. So yeah, I just want to touch on that a little. I am so sorry I can't pronounce your name. I'm so sorry, but I'm putting it up here. Ryan, do you believe disclosure will happen? Personally, if this will be truth, I'm not convinced this is a good idea. I think disclosure has already happened. I mean, we've had the U.S. government say UFOs exist. That's all I ever wanted. They haven't said what they are because I don't think they know what they are. So I think for every person who's seen a UFO or had some sort of experience, that's disclosure for them. And I saw a UFO, that was disclosure for me. So I think we need to move past this idea of striving for disclosure from the U.S. government. We believe they have been lying to us for many years, so why are we going to believe anything they say? Now, that's not to say I don't. This is so tough. It's not that I don't trust that the government doesn't want the best for their people. I believe they do. And maybe some of the lies they have told were to protect us. I don't know. I honestly can't say. And that's a very, you know, slippery slope to go down in terms of that. So whether you believe the government is lying to us about UFOs or not, whether you believe they know everything or don't know anything, has yet to be determined. I personally don't think they know a lot. And while they tried to deny a lot of it back during the Blue Book days, I think they made a mature decision and are now looking at it in a different lens and saying, hey, we don't know a lot of what's going on and we should probably look into it. And we don't have the capabilities to really understand it. So we should probably figure that out with our leading scientists and whatnot. So hopefully that's the direction they're going in and not in this is just another way to control the narrative and stamp it down and be another Project Blue Book. I don't know. Only time will tell. I will say don't waste your time on disclosure because it's already here and it's never going to come in the form I think a lot of people think where, you know, White House lawn scenario where the president of the United States says UFOs exist, because A, the world is a hell of a lot bigger than the United States, and it's going to take a lot more world leaders to confirm that and agree with that and see how the world should move on from that moment on. So I don't know. There's so many hypotheticals when it comes to all that, and I change my mind every day, to be honest. Let's see. You know what I'm going to do, guys? I have a brief video about a new segment that covered this chapter. And I'd like to see what they have to say about it. Vass says, hell of a warning on page 469. Good advice, methinks. Vass, tell us what you're talking about, man, so we can expedite and get to what that is. But go ahead and watch this video first, guys, about this chapter and what they said back in 92.
Sightings like the Phoenix Lights have generated questions and made believers out of skeptics. In this 600-page guide, may lend credibility to UFOs. It's the Fire Officer's Guide to Disaster Control and said to be found in firehouses across the U.S. The book covers everything from fires to floods, but it's chapter 13 that takes an unusual twist in firefighting techniques titled Enemy Attack and UFO Potential.
It would not be remiss to give some thought to the part that fire departments might play in the event of the unexpected arrival of UFOs in their communities.
The book, written by two retired firefighters, addresses what first responders could encounter.
You may have engine trouble upon approaching the scene, and radio contact could be lost with your dispatcher. If at night your headlight could go out, the city could be blacked out, and your portable generators may malfunction.
No, this took me by surprise.
Believers like Jim Mann see the book as an opportunity.
This is a real phenomena that we should deal with. We should deal with seriously.
So, is it for training purposes, or is it enough to warrant a UFO education red alert?
This is something that could really happen in our lifetime.
It even asks, how do you treat injured aliens? Are first responders aware of the potential physical injuries?
Some fire chiefs have little confidence in disaster plans, especially those dealing with UFOs or enemy attack.
We contacted several fire agencies regarding this book, and some even called us. However, not one admitted to using it for training, although some are aware it exists.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? It just shows you that serious professional people are starting to take this whole subject of UFOs and ETs. They're starting to take this seriously.
Jim Mann investigates sightings and encounters for the mutual UFO network known as MUFON.
This is a real threat to this planet.
MUFON has its own investigative guide seen here publicly for the first time.
And I don't think we're crackpots. I think that we're just people that want to be aware of what's going on. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going.
And one of the authors of this book says many people miss the point regarding that chapter in UFOs, saying previously, quote, whether they exist or not is not the issue. It's the perceived existence which creates the potential for panic, injury, and even death.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Within the limited time I had to kind of throw together this episode tonight, I was able to find that new segment. Talking about helping injured aliens, that didn't even dawn on me. Like, yeah, if a UFO crashes, we need to help those beings as well. We have just as much of a responsibility to do that as if humans got injured. God, that didn't even cross my mind. So yeah, just imagine if we had EMTs on site when the Roswell UFO crash happened. Did they help the aliens? I don't know. That's a mystery yet to be fully decoded. That's a Mysteries Decoded reference for any of you out there. Anyways, I thought it was cool that they quoted one of the authors of this chapter. And I did want to expand on that, the quote that he was talking about. So I'm going to go ahead and read Bill Kramer, one of the authors. These are direct quotes from him about the chapter. Let's see here. It is no laughing matter. Many people miss the point of the chapter about UFOs. Whether they exist or not is not the issue. It's the perceived existence which creates the potential for panic, injury, and even death. I know they said that in the new segment, but he does expand. He says here, I use the term UFO literally to refer to any unidentified flying object, not just to mean an alien spaceship, as the term is usually associated. Unidentified simply means nobody knows what it is, but it still scares the hell out of people. There have been a number of incidents over the years that have induced panic, going back to the famous Orson Welles radio presentation of War of the Worlds in 1938, when some listeners feared that there was a real Martian or misidentified German attack underway and reportedly fled the region or took up arms. More recent incidents include a perceived religious sighting in New York that caused traffic problems. Yeah, so that comes straight from the author of this chapter. A lot of this has to do with what we are actually going to talk about next, and that is the panic hazard, just like he said. What happened with War of the Worlds? We don't not want another scenario where if this happens, and if we do learn that UFOs have landed and they're from another planet or we don't know where they're from, that people aren't freaking out and grabbing arms and going out and shooting at the UFOs or shooting at each other. We all have those scenarios in our head of how we would react in situations like an alien invasion or zombies or anything, even a real world terrorist attack. A lot of us don't know what we would do in those situations until we're in them. So that's what this is about. What if aliens were here? What if a UFO did land? What if 20 UFOs landed? One in every country around the world, like Arrival style. Like, what would we do? And those are the questions being posed in this chapter. So yeah, it's pretty cool to hear the author say this wasn't like a practical joke or it's not worth snickering at. Like, we need you guys to be prepared if this happens. That's it. Point. Simple. Point, game, match, done. UFOs could be a threat. Let's see what else here. Oh, wow. Yeah, Mark Coffey Studio says germs, bacteria, anything could all play a role too. I mean, you know, what if these were alien and they came here and they landed and the aliens got out and immediately whatever their biological makeup is so dangerous or, you know, infectious to us here on Earth that it causes a pandemic. I don't know. Like, but those are things that could happen. So again, we gotta figure out how to deal with that. So that's such a good point. Such a good point. Ethereal Aura, welcome to the show. War of the Worlds weren't a lot of people freaked out. They did flood the phone lines. But that wasn't that hard in those days. Very true. Very true. An alien with a cold could wipe out the planet if the strain is unresisted. Very true, Bien. Very, very true. Let's see what else we have here, guys. And who was it in the chat? Vast Twilight Podcast said page 16. There's some good stuff. So let me get down there. Emergency action. Let's go ahead and read this here from the chapter. In view of the fact that many ufologists believe that we are fast approaching a time when overt landings of UFOs will become less remarkable, and in the absence of our knowing whether their visits are friendly or hostile, it would not be remiss to give some thought to the part that fire departments might play in the event of the unexpected arrival of UFOs in their communities. For example, what would be your course of action as an incident commander at the scene of a school ground where a UFO is crashed into a boiler room, rupturing a fuel line and igniting has occurred in spilling oil, endangering the occupants of the craft who are trapped in the wreckage? What a scenario. That's, wow. I feel like I'm reading a screenplay. Endangering the occupants. If your rescue attempts are successful and two of the five small alien creatures are injured but still alive, how do you dispose of the dead and treat the survivals? How would the presence of children on the school grounds affect your actions? What persons and agencies would be notified? That's, gosh, I mean, I don't know, but hell, to be in that situation, I can't even imagine. So, good. I'm glad these questions are being posed, so if it happens, they will know how to deal with it. Oh, they even quote Frank Edwards, his book on flying saucers, for warning. Quote, near approaches of UFOs can be harmful to human beings. Do not stand under a UFO. Do not. That is hovering at low altitude. Do not touch or attempt to touch a UFO that has landed. In either case, the safe thing to do is to get away from it very quickly and let the military take over. There is a possibility of radiation danger, and there are known cases where persons have been burned by rays emanating from UFOs. Don't take chances with UFOs. I love that. In the view of federal law, empowering NASA's administrator to impound without a hearing anyone who touches UFO or its occupants, it would be inadvisable to make personal contact unless you are willing to submit to NASA's quarantine requirements, should the law be invoked. Crazy. They go into Jacques Vallée talking about a lot of different things from his book, Invisible College, cautions that we should consider psychic effects, such as space-time distortion experienced by percipients of craft-like devices, which appear to fade away, dematerialize, and then reappear, of alien strange voices or thoughts that may affect involuntary changes in the manner in which witnesses may react in such circumstances. Wow. It looks like we're kind of getting to the end of the chapter here, guys. There's so much I did not talk about that I highly suggest you read for yourselves. Nicholas says, the reference to school children brings to mind the South African case. Yes, the Zimbabwe, Rua Zimbabwe case that John Mack investigated. He actually flew all the way to Zimbabwe days, after that event happened in the schoolyard and interviewed the children, the witnesses of that. And it was crazy where a UFO landed and like 60 school children watched as some sort of being or beings came out of this craft, kind of walked around for a little bit, got close up to the children and telepathically communicated with them. And like, this all sounds like science fiction, but it's so well documented. And so many of those child witnesses now as adults stick to the story, two of which I've spoken to personally and have interviewed on Somewhere in the Skies about the event and how it affected their lives. I did recently put one of my lectures on Patreon. So if you're a member of our Patreon campaign, you can watch my lecture about the human effects of UFO events and how they affect people on every level. And I did interview one of the witnesses about how her life was affected dramatically by the Rua Zimbabwe UFO case and how it changed her life. So yeah, you can go find that on our Patreon right now, patreon.com/somewhereskies. Nicholas says the Australian case too. Yes. Yeah. So many weird schoolyard sightings that have happened and landings. So yeah, we need to bring in whatever is going to contain the situation, whether it's fire, EMT, police officers, military, to figure out what the hell is going on, because there have been way too many school UFO landings for my taste. Let's see. Tommy says, this UFO chapter has more detail than the rest of the disaster control chapters put together. The detail they go into is unbelievable, Ryan. I know, Tommy. Again, I don't know if it's the passion of the writers to really get their UFO knowledge out there and flex it and get it published somehow, and it's through one of these manuals, but I do understand why it's here and why it remained in the book, because it is a scenario that we have to be ready for. And I did mention this on the Air Force Academy episode with Dan Warren and Luis Jimenez that there's a contingency plan for everything, literally everything. We did mention zombies. There are plans set up if there is a UFO invasion, if there is a zombie-like infection going on around the world or whatnot, or literally the dead coming back to exact revenge or eat our brains. There are so many things set in place for stuff like this. So while the chapter doesn't surprise me, it does surprise me in terms of the content and how descriptive and hypothetical it is. And what do they know? And why is it truly here? We may never, never know. So what I think I'm going to do, guys, is start wrapping things up. We've covered enough. I highly suggest you go read the chapter. Once again, I will put the link for it in the show notes. But let's go to the conclusions that the chapter drew. I think that would be pretty cool. They do have that here to kind of wrap things up. Some fire chiefs have little confidence in disaster plans, especially those dealing with UFOs or enemy attack. If you develop a plan that sets forth your responsibilities, resources, organizations, supplies, information, telephone numbers, and special data that will be useful in obtaining help and fulfilling your role in disaster control, commit it to an electronic medium, a computer with a capability for continuous updating through modern word processing. Remember, this is written in 1992. bring it forth when the need requires. With a good plan, good leadership, and adequate resources, you may save many lives in any disaster, including attack from possible enemies or UFOs. So yeah, again, like, this entire manual is made for preparedness in any situation. So I think it's so cool that once again, chapter 13 in another official book, manual, textbook is about UFOs. And I thought it was so cool that this came to my attention literally within weeks of Dan Warren putting out this Air Force Academy thing, which is so cool. I'm sure there are so many other books and flyers and pamphlets that military branches have put out throughout the years. I know Isaac Coy, the UFO researcher, has highlighted some of those. Kirk Collins as well, in their work. So I'm going to seek those out and see what else is out there on UFOs. But I thought this is really cool. I was really happy to have Nick and other people in the chat talking about their experiences with this kind of stuff. Let's see. BN says, basically saying some people refuse to take this serious, so here's who to call. Yeah, and again, like, this was the whole issue with the stigma attached to reporting UFOs in the military. And it's been that way for many years, and that is changing. The Pentagon, the UAP Task Force, the Department of Defense is saying, report these things. We need to shed the ridicule in reporting UFOs. We're not going to put you on desk duty. We're not going to make fun of you. These could be a potential threat to national security, and we need to know about them. Please report them. So I think it's the same with something like this. Like, it's funny to think, oh, little green men and flying saucers and this and that. But at the end of the day, like, this could happen. And even if it's not aliens, if we don't know who it is or why it's happening, it could be a big problem and it could be a threat. And are people here to protect us and to help us and save us? They need to know how to deal with it. So I think it's pretty cool that this chapter is out there. You could buy the textbook, like I said, still just type the title into Amazon. It should pop up. Maybe we will find some firefighters or people who actually did come across this chapter. And I would love, love, love to hear their thoughts on what they thought about it. So yeah, someone in the chat also mentioned the references in this appendix here. It is an incredible resource of things to do with UFOs and chemical warfare, nuclear weapons, just a litany of different things. So it's obvious that the writers of the chapter did their homework. It's very clear on that. So again, I'm seeing the word UFO and blue book pop up everywhere in here. So cool. That's about it, guys. I'm glad that you followed me on this fun journey tonight. Again, this isn't going to change anything. It's not going to change anyone's minds on UFOs. It's been talked about before. It is not a revelation, but I just discovered it. So it's a revelation for me. So let me live it. Let you out there who didn't know about it, live it. Shane, who brought this to my attention, let him live it. And just have fun. Have fun with this topic. While this is serious about emergencies and hazards and stuff like that, like, take some solace in knowing that this is crazy. There's manuals and textbooks out there having to do with UFOs. I believe it's the University of Michigan who is putting a UFO course online. And go University of Michigan. We are seeing UFO courses pop up in universities all over the country and presumably the world as well, not just the United States. So I look forward to more UFO courses being taught in school as well in every way, shape, and form. Don't be afraid to reach out to me. That goes for if you've had a UFO sighting. If you want to be featured on an upcoming Witness Accounts episode of the show, where I literally have you come on and talk about your UFO sightings in your own words, I'm not there. It's just you recording it, sending it to me, and I play it with others as well. You can use your name or you don't have to. It's a chance for you to get it off your chest and talk about it with people who understand what you've been through and like hearing about this stuff. The more people who talk about it, the more normal it becomes. And we're living in an age where this topic is being accepted more than ever before. So feel fortunate that we're living in a time now where we can talk about UFOs and most people aren't laughing about it. We've come a long way. We truly, truly have. So I appreciate everyone who is in this journey with me to try to find the truth about UFOs. None of us are experts. None of us truly know what's going on. And those who say they do know what's going on, those aren't the people you want to be listening to. This is a constant journey of learning. The phenomena seems to always be two steps ahead of us, but maybe one day it'll be one step, and then maybe we will be in step with it soon. I can't tell you, but if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, I hope it happens to my kids for sure. But I think I'm going to wrap it up there, guys. Thank you for joining me tonight. And as always, keep your feet on the ground, but never stop searching somewhere in the skies.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.